following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Welcome, Refuge Family, to another Refuge Daily. It's Thursday, October 15th, and we're going to be jumping into the series that we've been going through whenever I'm here on the Beatitudes. And so let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, as we open up this next of the Beatitudes, may you be with us and may you give us that meek heart that this verse so clearly teaches to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start with a question on this. Who does the world belong to? If you had to make that decision by what you watch and what you consume, it might depend on, you know, what channel you might be watching. If you watch the news, then it really depends on which news station you get your news from. But you might think that the world belongs to our leaders, our government leaders, and our politicians. I mean, this is what we talk about continually in the news cycles, and their ads are being played over and over right now as the world just watches. We consume politics in this country, I think, more than we even consume food. And being an American, that says quite a bit. Now, if we were to instead be watching the news, instead if we were watching our sports or music video channels, it would also be concerning because we might get the idea that these the athletes or musicians or really just celebrities are the ones that really control things. I mean, we wear their shirts that are plastered with their faces. We listen to their music from sun up to sundown. We talk stats over which player is better than which team is better. We spend an enormous amount of money to go and see them live and spend our time reading about them in magazines and news articles. But thankfully, the world's future isn't in the hands of musicians or celebrities or politicians or any other so-called powerful people. As usual, Jesus has a completely different idea of what it means to be powerful. And this week, we're going to be taking a look at the third beatitude. Through this study, we're going to discover what Jesus means to be meek and what it means to inherit the earth. So we're going to begin by reading Matthew 5, verse 5, where it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, the meek will inherit the earth. If that's true, we need to figure out a few things. One, who are the meek? And two, what does it mean for them to inherit the earth? So first, let's define what the word meek is in a way that we can all understand. The dictionary definition for the word meek is mild of temper, soft, or gentle. Now, think of somebody that you know who fits this description. What are they like? What are their characteristics? Now think about this. In America, how are the meek treated? How do we treat the meek at work, those who are gentle, those who are mild of temper? Do we look to them for counsel, for wisdom, as leaders? Or are they more along the lines of those that get kind of trampled under and taken advantage of? You know, we typically don't look to the meek as the ones that are truly the powerful. We think of the bold, the brash, the prideful almost that are and see them as the source of power. Now, let's talk about Jesus here for a second and see where does he fit in with this. In Matthew 11, verse 29, it says this. Jesus is speaking to a group of Jews in Galilee, and he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As he's speaking to this crowd, he's giving them comfort, right? He's telling people, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest and comfort." And he describes himself as being gentle and humble in heart. This is, in many ways, just the very definition of what meek is. Jesus was very meek. But we need to understand, he was definitely not weak. Meekness is not weakness. Okay, Jesus was no wimp. Okay, he was powerful, he was strong, but he controlled his strength and anger and reserved it for only in those times of righteousness, like his righteous anger in the temple. He didn't go out of control, he didn't lose his temper, he was gentle with those who hurt, and very forceful with those who needed that force, right? He brought the law to those who needed to be humbled, but he showed grace to the ones who already were humble. And this is really the definition of being meek. That we and Jesus wants this for us. He wants us to be meek. He doesn't want us to be wimpy. He doesn't want us to be soft as in like, oh, okay, whatever. But he doesn't want us to necessarily fight in the same way that the world fights. And let's take a look at the context so we can understand exactly what I mean by that, that he doesn't want us to fight like the world. Now, in this first audience, how would they understand this passage? Well, first you need to understand that that word that says they will inherit the earth also means the land. Okay, and that's very important to understand. The meek shall inherit the land. He was speaking to Jews who had a very long relationship with God that was linked to the promised land and the promises that were associated with it. Faithfulness to God would result in dwelling in the land, in peace, and in prosperity. But unfaithfulness to God would result in exile and being scattered from that land. Centuries before Jesus spoke this beatitude, the Jews had returned to the promised land from the exile in Babylon and in Persia, but they really never possessed the land, even when they came back. First the Persians, then the Greeks, then finally the Romans controlled the land, and the Romans were the ones controlling the land when Jesus spoke this beatitude. And the Romans were pagan, idolatrous people that ruled the land with an iron fist, right? They had peace, but it was peace brought by the fact that a sword was held at the throat of everybody. The Jews felt that they were still in exile. They may have lived in the land, but they felt that they were still exiles because they were not in control, and they remained under that thumb of this invading, oppressive foreign power. And so many Jews turned and became what were called the Zealots. These were violent revolutionaries. Okay, to the Jews, they were freedom fighters, but to the Romans, they were terrorists. These are guys that would dress just like a normal person, and they would wait in a crowd, and a Roman soldier might come by, and they'd have a dagger, and they'd quickly stab the Roman soldier and then disappear into the crowd and hide. They didn't go out and violently attack the Roman station, the Roman forts, but they did it one by one, trying to attack. And they believed that using the world's violent methods to accomplish what they felt was God's goal for them, that was acceptable. They thought this is how God wanted. We can use the world's violent ways. We can kill and conquer and destroy in order to accomplish what God wants for us. And their goal was to inherit the land by force. But Jesus tells these people here that it's not the strong that will inherit the earth or inherit the land, but that it's the meek, the ones who dwell in peace, the ones who would live long in the land to experience the blessings of the covenant, the belonging to the Lord. It was those who were meek. And Jesus condemns, in this one verse, condemns the tactics of the zealots who sought to pursue their goals in the same way the world did. It would not be the violent, it would not be the angry, it would not be the powerful that would accomplish God's will, but rather the gentle, the mild of temper, the one who put their trust in Him rather than in the sword. Now, we live in a land right now, we live in a time where everything has become politicized. We have an us versus them mentality, and like the zealots, it's easy for us to be tempted to use the world's ways of coercion, of fear, of power to accomplish our goals. I've heard it from both sides of the political spectrum, the idea of, well, they're doing this over here, so we can do it as well. If it's, you know, good for the goose, it's good for the gander. But, you know, I think about this. If you're a parent, if you've been a parent, what do you do when your child comes to you and says something like, I'm being made fun of at school, I'm being bullied? Now, you got a couple of options, right? You can tell them, okay, you know what, when they come and they're bullying you, I want you to punch them right in the face. You could go that route. But most of us probably are along the lines of saying something along the lines of, don't stoop to their level. I want you to rise above where they are. Live a life of humility and love and compassion to show grace to those who are bullying. That's what I would want to say and encourage and say is, if we would tell our kids that, why would we do something different when it's us? In the same way, we need to put away the weapons of the world and pick up the weapons of the kingdom of God. And they are very different from each other. The weapons of the world, fear, anger, hostility, name-calling, violence, aggression. The weapons of the kingdom, love, joy, peace, the Word of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, the sandals of the gospel, the belt of truth. We have the shield of faith. We have these as our weapons. We fight with faith, not with anger. We fight with truth, not with slander. We fight with the Word of God, not some sound clip from the last politician. We fight with love, not hatred. Jesus and his disciples and those who were following would have been very familiar with the Old Testament, and the Psalms in particular. This was their hymn book, their prayer book for all of them. And so when Jesus says, the meek will inherit the earth or inherit the land, it draws back to Psalm 37. And I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to encourage you guys today, though, to go and read the entirety of Psalm 37. And it says the same thing here. This is kind of the summary passage here. But Psalm 37, starting in verse 5, it says this. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Now, obviously, we're not talking about America being the promised land and, oh, we're going to be victorious in politics or we're going to have control. No, but the promises of God were closely associated in the Old Testament with that land. And the promises that he offers us today go beyond the promised land of Israel or America or even this entire planet. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says this. Speaking of Jesus, it says, he is who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Now, according to these verses, it is Jesus who rules the world, not the politicians, not the athletes, not the celebrities, not the rich. It is Jesus. And here we see that he has made us his kingdom, that we will rule and reign with Christ. And in some ways, we already are. As Christ is sitting on the throne even now, we are ruling and reigning alongside of him. That's one of those truths that is just like your brain just, right, goes so big. You're like, wait a minute, how are we current? We're here on earth, but the Bible also says that we are seated already in the heavenlies along with Jesus. How does that work out? I don't know. But I love that idea and that picture that we are ruling and reigning with him right now, that we have inherited the fullness of his kingdom. We have inherited the blessings of being along with Christ. So why would we put aside those things to fight like the world, to fight with the world's weapons? Right now, it seems like whoever is the loudest, the pushiest, or the most successful runs the show. But Christ is telling us just the opposite. Through gentleness and love, Christ commands the world. And we as Christians, through gentleness and love, will be with Christ when he inherits the earth, and we will inherit it with him. It might seem like Trump and Biden are in charge, but Christ is the one on the throne. It might seem like our celebrities and athletes are in charge, but Christ is the victorious one. And those who live for him will receive the rewards that he promises. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this truth, and I pray that each and every one of us today would seek to have that meekness, that humbleness that comes from you, the humbleness that you so clearly modeled for us when you came to this earth, Jesus, that you took on a form of a human, that you took on the very nature of man, and died on a cross for our sins, that you humbled yourself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Lord, help us to fight with the weapons of the word, not the weapons of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll be back here again tomorrow for another Refuge Daily. We'll see you then.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.